the time of the great apostasy, the latter days. Could see everywhere the crisis, the terrible crisis in society and crisis in the church as well. Everything around us seems to be crumbling down, and the things which we have had been made things secure for us in the past are gone. And that's why it's very difficult to raise a family. And therefore this sermon, I would like to address it for fathers, because it's Father's Day today, so the heads of the home. And to, because it's quite an adventure, quite, it's almost like an epic, remember, a great challenge against odds, very difficult odds, and the powerful forces of evil trying to militate against the Christian home, the Catholic family. It's quite a very serious undertaking, and because of the circumstances in which we live, it's very, very difficult. And the characteristic of such a time in which we live is that there is no room for mediocrity. No room for mediocrity. We have no choice but to strive for holiness. You see, it's a very difficult period then, like when we were in the 50s, for instance, and when we had more or less somewhat of a Christian atmosphere in the world, when we had also a lot of Catholic schools, a lot of convents and monasteries and parishes everywhere, and somehow it was not so difficult to raise children. You did not have all these temptations everywhere because of the TV and the magazines and the video games and everything around you. So it was, I think it was easier, and you could maybe have saved your soul with average virtue, trying just to get by, because it was around you, it was pretty wholesome in some ways. You could have saved your soul, therefore, without heroic virtue. But that is not the case now. That is not the case now. Now the devil has made such a mess of things, and the circumstances, the surroundings, the atmosphere is so pagan, so somehow inducing us to evil, that unless you strive for holiness, unless you try to become a saint, unless you try to be more, you do more than the minimum effort, you will fail and you will lose your soul. That's important to understand, the difference between the period in which we live in and other periods, maybe like 40 or 50 years ago. So therefore, the conditions a bit compared to maybe to other, like for instance to the first Christians, when they were in the midst of a complete pagan society in Rome, and they have therefore to, they had to save their souls, they had to practice to see the faith, and they could not participate in many of the things around us because they were pagan, those games at the circus, at the gladiators, or some of the public ceremonies, because it involved the worship of pagan gods and everything. So they were surrounded by a completely hostile society, completely pagan, not at all according to the Christian ideals, and yet they were able not only to survive, but even to grow, and finally, after three or four centuries, to sort of conquer the Roman Empire through their faith, their example, their prayer. Or it's also maybe in the 4th century, during the Arian crisis, and now the few Catholics were so isolated as well, and all the bishops and had gone Arian, and therefore they had to somehow again resist the pressure around them. All the English Catholics in the reign of Elizabeth, when everything was Protestant, when England became Protestant, or also maybe the Japanese Christians, where for two centuries they kept the faith, even without priests, they were completely isolated. And when in the 1800s the first priests came, well, they were able to find the surviving Christians that had kept the faith with fidelity during those two centuries after the end of the persecutions, when all the priests, you see, were killed. So these Christians survived, these Christians kept their faith, where, and they, for them, it was required to see more than just average virtue. It was required because of the circumstances, heroic virtue. Well, that's a bit the same thing in our neo-pagan world. And therefore, for the fathers, for the heads, you see, of families, you have this beautiful vocation, this responsibility. I remember when Archbishop Lefebvre gave his Jubilee sermon in 1979, he stirred up really enthusiasm because he called for a crusade. And he called a crusade first for priests, and then the second thing, crusades, a crusade for heads of families to understand, see, the fathers, the responsibility that they have for the making of a Catholic society, first to see in their own homes, first in their own homes. I remember because I was there, I was a seminarian at the time in 1979, and I was in the, see, after in France there was still a law that required us in those days to have a year in the armed forces. So I was in the military, and I had to, but I obtained special permission to be able to attend the mass. I was a fourth year seminarian in those days, and I was able to attend the mass of the Archbishop. And I remember, see, this wonderful sermon he gave, for, and one of the themes, the crusade for fathers. It's because they are the ones to be responsible. They are the one to be responsible. I remember a sermon once. It was a priest that gave the sermons, and he said, in the army, there is a motto, there's never any bad privates, there's only bad officers. When a battle is lost, it's the bad officers, not the bad private, because they're supposed to follow. And that's the fault of the leaders, therefore, when there are problems. So, therefore, it shows, you see, when there is something wrong in the Catholic home, when the children do not have the proper conditions for the saving of the soul, not always, but often, the responsibility is the lack of leadership on the part, you see, of the father. And therefore, that's why I would like to give you 3 points that maybe could be a help for you on Father's Day to understand the beauty, the greatness, the grandeur of your vocation, and therefore to make some resolutions for the future. The first point, you see, is the importance of instruction, you see, of training. First, you see, understanding the importance of studying yourself, you see, your Catholic faith, to be able to communicate it to your children. The power of the example is amazing. If your children see yourself, see, picking up, see, a book, a spiritual book during the weekend, well, they will understand that for you the faith is something serious, that you do study your faith, that it means something as part of your life. And therefore, they will want themselves to study, to learn their catechism, to know more about God, about all the mysteries of the creed, all these beautiful dogmas that we have in our Catholic religion. And also the training, see, the whole character formation to give them discipline, respect, obedience, all these loyalty, honesty, all these virtues which are taught in the home, and not only by the mother, but the father as well. He has less time than the mother, I agree, but he can. When he really wants to, he can find the time on the weekend to spend some time with his children and therefore teach them, see, through his example, through playing with them, talking with them, doing things with them. So understand the harmony between the father's part and the mother's part in the raising of the children. Second little point, see, the importance of prayer, of prayer. Remember Our Lady of Fatima and how she insisted on the rosary. So of course that's important, the family prayers, say the rosary, but also the importance of personal prayer. That has also tremendous power, the example of the prayer of the family, of the head of the family, of the father. One little example, I remember in my home one day, see, we're taught to knock at the door of the bedroom of our parents when we wanted to talk to them, and one day I forgot to knock and I entered to see the room of my parents. And what did I see? I saw my father alone, and he was at the foot of the bed, you see, praying alone. My mom was just somewhere else. in the house, but I was struck, see, because so I left and left the room. But it impressed me as a, I think I probably was a teenager then, I don't remember how old I was, but to have seen my father alone in his room just praying. He was saying the little office of Our Lady or some other prayers, I forget what he was saying, but it impressed me, and it just, oh, okay, well, it means something for him, because it's even outside the regular family prayers, like the rosary, but he does pray to see the that. So personal prayer, especially, you see, for the fathers, for you to receive the graces of state, the graces that God wants to give you so that you can be a good Catholic father. And the third and last point, the importance of creating in your homes a Catholic environment, a Catholic atmosphere, so that the seeds of the faith will be able to germinate. If you are a farmer, if you want to sow some seeds, to have a good crop, a good harvest, well, you will want to prepare the soil by watering it down, by the proper nutrients in the soil, so that when the seeds will fall, they will fall on good ground, good soil. But if it's hard, arid, parched earth, then the seeds will just bounce off, and it will not be able to take root. The same thing and for the Catholic faith. If you want the supernatural seeds of the faith that are given through prayer, through the sermons of the priest, the reception of the sacraments, to be able to grow profoundly in the souls of your children, you have to have the proper soil for it, the good ground in their souls. And that is prepared through a good Catholic environment in the home. That applies to a lot of things in this atmosphere in the home, that apply to the kind of music that they listen to, the kind of books that they read, the kind of even posters they have in their rooms, the kind of language that they use, the kind of entertainment, the kind of, so that all these things are somehow reflecting a little the Catholic faith, so that somehow they are in a good environment, and therefore the seeds of the faith will be able to take root in their souls, to blossom in their hearts. You may have read, you see, the book, some of you, and I greatly encourage you to, it's called Story of a Family, and it's the life of Mr. and Mrs. Martin, see, Martin. They were the father and the mother of St. Therese of the Child Jesus. And they were wonderful parents. And you can see, therefore, then for them, it was much more than just taking their kids to Mass on a Sunday. It was a whole education in the home. And the father was involved as well as the mother. The father, for instance, was telling stories to the children, was taking them on walks on Saturday, was reading to them Dom Gérangé, the liturgical year, was, I don't know, just doing all kind of songs. There was a whole atmosphere in the home that was therefore conducive, very conducive to the Catholic faith. And it is the father who is responsible, therefore, to set up, you see, this home, because he's the one who makes decisions. He's the one who is, therefore, have to promote this Catholic atmosphere in the home. So do use, therefore, your authority that God has given to you. Do not abdicate your authority. Do not throw your responsibility, but see how the vocation that you have received enables you to do great things for God. You are sort of the captain, see, of your homes, like in the ship. It's the father who is leading, you see, the ship, and the ship can either go and sink, you see, or the ship can make it to the harbor. And therefore, it's a beautiful, exalted vocation, a great adventure, a great undertaking for the glory of God. So have confidence and try to make good resolutions for the future. And I was seeing the Mass we have today's filled, you see, with those exhortations to confidence, and are, as are many of the Masses of the time after Pentecost. Oh, hear, O Lord, the sound of my prayer. See, hear my prayers. Oh, be my helper. Forsake me not. Despise me not, O God, my Savior. The Lord is my light, is my salvation. Whom would I fear? And then the beautiful collect. They are very old, these collects. some of them are almost like 1500 years old. Oh God, thou hast prepared invisible good things for those who love thee. Invisible good things. First, a life of grace here below. It's a wonderful thing to have this life of grace. And then the life of glory, the beatific vision in heaven. So, O God, who have prepared invisible good things for those who love thee, pour into our hearts an ardent love of thee. See, infuse the virtue of charity in our souls, so that, loving thee in all things and above all things, we may obtain thy promises, what thou hast promised to us, the glory of heaven, which exceeds all that we can desire. Because even beyond our wildest expectations, there's happiness, there's glory in heaven. And that's why St. Peter was telling us just last Sunday that the sufferings of this earth are nothing compared to the glory of the world to come. So let us take courage, let us have confidence in the Sacred Heart of our Lord. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In life, the personal prayer. And that also has a great influence on your family and on the children. I might have told you already that, but one of the memories, you see, of my childhood, it wants to have forgotten to knock on the door of my parents' room, as we were taught to. We always had to knock, and I don't know, I just forgot or whatever, and I entered the room of my parents, and what did I see? There was my father was kneeling at the foot of the bed, you see, alone. My mom was somewhere else, and he was praying. And I just came out, and that did impress me as a child, or I don't know how old I was at the time, I forgot, but to see my father alone, just praying in his room, reading whatever, the little office of Our Lady, I forgot what he was praying, but, and these little things, you see, have an influence in the life, you see, of a child, more than you think. So prayer, and then the third and last little point, you see, is the importance of the Catholic environment in the home, the Catholic atmosphere, the removal of whatever can be harmful, the occasions of sin, and to replace, you see, the bad things by good things. I'm sure some of you have read the book called Story of a Family. It's a life of Monsieur and Madame Martin, see, the father and the mother of Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. What you see here in a concrete example of a Catholic home and what a Catholic father could do for his children, not only just take them to Mass, but there's a lot more to it. There was a whole, during the week, a whole atmosphere in the home, and he was also through good books, the reading he was doing to them. He used to read them at night, Dom Guéranger, to his children. They used to take them for walks. He used to sing with them, have little sing-along with his children to tell them stories. And the whole Catholic culture, this is the soil. See, if you want the seeds of the faith, the seeds of the faith to grow in the souls of your children, you have to make sure that there is a proper soil for them. Otherwise, if you try to have the priest sow the seeds of the faith on a parched, arid, barren earth, they will just bounce off. They will not be able to fold, sink in a humid, fertile soil and to grow into beautiful flowers. But the same thing with parents who allow their kids to have all the modern culture, the video games and the TV and the rock music and all this stuff, and expect then those kids can go to Mass and the priest will preach a sermon and then the seeds of the faith will grow. It's impossible. If the souls of these children are saturated with all the ugliness of the modern world, it's impossible for the Gregorian chant, or for the lives of the saints, or for all these beautiful things to germinate, to take root in their hearts, if all what they had to see as comics, to see and video games and rock music and all this kind of stuff that it unfortunately is all around us. So I know it's hard. I know you have a very hard task, a very difficult vocation. I know you work against extremely adverse circumstances that the world is against us and the devil is trying to arrange everything around us to drag down souls to hell through all this modern culture. And I know that it's hard, but try to pray. It's possible to take small steps in your home to make sure the children will have this environment, this Catholic atmosphere, so that they will be nurtured, so that their souls will, and it's up to the Father to make decisions, to take small steps in the domain of reading, the domain of music, the domain of games, the domain of entertainment, all these things. Slowly, things will see will improve. If you all have a clear vision of what you should do, then you will take small steps to improve. It may take a year, 2 years, 3 years, but slowly your homes will become more pleasing to the Sacred Heart of our Lord. Remember the enthronement, how you put Jesus on a throne and where you ask him to be the king of your home, and you try therefore to make your home more pleasing to him, to remove what will be harmful to the children. So let us therefore make resolutions, dear fathers, for this crusade that Archbishop Lefebvre was inviting you to take part. And let us have confidence in God. We have those beautiful texts of the Mass of today. Oh, dear Lord, hear the sound of my prayer. Be my helper. Forsake me not. Despise me not, O God, O my Savior. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom should I fear? And the beautiful collect that we have today, those are the most beautiful ones, the time after Pentecost. They're very ancient, more than 1,000 years old. Some are just like 7th century or something. Maybe they are like almost 15 centuries old, these prayers. O God, you have prepared invisible good things for those who love thee. Yes, the good things of, well, sanctifying grace here below, and then the life of glory, the beatific vision in heaven. Pour into our hearts, to infuse charity in our souls, so an ardent love for thee, that loving thee in all things and above all things, we may obtain thy promises, and thy promises, the joy of heaven, exceed all we can desire. Exceed all we can desire. Even our wildest desires, the promises of God are just far beyond. And that's why St. Peter was telling us, you see, last Sunday, that the sufferings of this life are nothing compared to the glory of the world to come. So let us take courage. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen.